Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about behavioral and emotional self-regulation. And we're going to tackle this with an article from the Child Mind Institute. The link is in the show notes, so if you want to check that out. But it's a well-written, great article about self-regulation in regards to behavioral problems.
Right.
And so so let's cover a few sort of background things.
Right.
You know, again, when we think about self-regulation, we're thinking about a process, right? We're not talking about a specific skill. We're talking about a general process of looking at the expectations, looking at what is what we need to do, what we're expected to do, look at our behavior or our emotions at the time that they're happening, and then to be able to evaluate and monitor ourselves afterward.
That's right. And we've been talking this week about self-regulation actually developing in infants.
Right.
We see it with infant sleep patterns, sleep hygiene, and then the development of self-regulation in toddlers and kindergarten students. And we mentioned the end of third grade and puberty. So we talk about self-regulation across the lifespan. And the way they define it is that self-regulation is the ability to manage your emotions and behavior. And I think the last part is just as important, in accordance with the demands of the situation.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're going to go to school, you have to be able to manage the demands. And the demand is you have to get along with other kids and you have to do what your teacher asks you to do.
Right.
And so to be able to manage those two things, and who doesn't want their child to be able to work with other kids, work well with other kids, to get along with other children, and to know that you have to do what you're asked to do by the adult in the room. I mean, I think all of us want that. You don't want your child to be fighting against others, whether they're peers or adults.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that this is, of course, how it relates with all the other ways we've talked about self-regulation this week. And that is, you have to recognize when you're in different settings, you have to recognize the expectations of those different settings.
That's right.
And you have to look at your behavior to determine if your behavior is appropriate for those different settings.
That's right. And you may have to change your behavior based on the setting that you're in.
Right, right. And there are a lot of factors that go into that, and we'll talk about some of those things. But, you know, these are all important aspects of the process of developing, the process of exercising self-regulation.
So. And at the end of this definition, you taste a little bit of Barry Zimmerman, because she talks about, it's about being able to set a goal and to be able to achieve that goal.
Right.
Okay, and so she says, as you get older, I think it's a she. I don't know why I keep saying she.
It is.
As you get older, you develop the ability, you want to develop this ability to set a goal, but also to achieve that goal.
Right, so, it doesn't say who the author is, it just says. So let's talk for just a moment about what dysregulation is.
Right.
Because we think about emotional dysregulation often, and we've talked about it before, but when we think about emotional dysregulation, what we're talking about, again, isn't necessarily a single specific thing.
Right.
We could be talking about, and we are often talking about, people who have a skill to do something, to be able to do something, but don't do it.
Right.
That's an emotional dysregulation, and being able to recognize the expectation of your environment and call upon the skills and behaviors necessary to meet those expectations. So
that's
it could
right.
be that. It could be a skill development issue. You know, a person may be dysregulated because they don't have the ability.
Right.
They don't have the skills necessary to regulate.
But this whole issue of dysregulation is, you know, what's happening with dysregulation?
Right.
You say, well, it's just the opposite. Well, there are components, again, you know, and you may have a single component.
Right.
But typically what people talk about with dysregulation is students who are unable to react appropriately.
Right.
Somebody, one of these writers said that an emotional meltdown is simply an inappropriate response to some stimulation.
Right.
Okay, so and it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so the problem is that you can't control your response mm-hmm. to a situation or to.
Right.
And again, I go back to your situation last night,
mm-hmm.
where you have the stimulus, which is sitting in a parking garage for
yeah.
an hour.
Yeah,
and so you had to be able to rein mm-hmm. whatever feelings you were having then to
right.
be able to rein them in. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so you had to be able to regulate
mm-hmm.
Your emotions and not let them control you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
that's what we always say to kids. We say it to children and adults. You don't want your emotions to control you. You want to control your emotions.
Right.
So dysregulation is the inability to keep your emotions in check, to keep your emotional responses in check.
To meet the expectations of the setting that
you're
in.
To meet the expectations
right.
of the setting.
Right. Right. So.
And one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
In its extreme form,
mm-hmm.
there's a diagnosis.
Right.
You know, developmental mood dysregulation disorder.
Right.
Now in DSM-5.
Five, right.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So in its extreme form, it's a type of psychopathology.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and we're getting to that now, because what we're going to talk about is why some kids struggle mm-hmm. with self-regulation.
Right.
And part of that is because one possible reason is because of a mental health diagnosis.
They could have a mental, because, and you know, we went through that this morning. You and I were talking about it
mm-hmm.
earlier, about all the disorders that we see in children.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are disorders of dysregulation.
Yeah. ADHD.
Of the inability to regulate your emotions.
Right. And again, emotions and behaviors, broadly speaking,
right.
you know, ADHD, impulsivity in general,
what it is
an inability to regulate. And inhibit mm-hmm. your impulses.
Right.
So, so ADHD,
oppositional
defiant disorder, conduct disorder, disruptive mood dysregulation disorder, all of
OCD,
these.
OCD, obsessive compulsive,
yeah,
that you can't stop what
mm-hmm.
you're doing. Okay. So many of the disorders that we treat in childhood
right.
are disorders of emotional regulation,
right.
self-regulation.
Right. Mm-hmm. So some kids and people may have difficulties with self-regulation simply
right.
because of a diagnosis.
Right.
We talked before about temperament.
Mm-hmm.
Temperament is another thing that
right.
could contribute to poor self-regulation.
And it's not your fault. I mean, this is who you are. This
right.
is your temperament. You happen right. to be hyper-reactive. Okay?
It doesn't make it okay.
No.
It doesn't mean
no.
that we're not going to work to adjust it and to modify it, but...
Mm-hmm. No, it's like when kids come in and say, well, I can't, I have bipolar disorder. You
mm-hmm.
know, no, that's not how it's going to work.
Right.
Yes, you have bipolar disorder, but
yeah.
it means we have to do things a little bit differently with
right.
you. But no, it doesn't make it acceptable.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then of course, the other is more environmental things like parenting
yeah.
and things like that. You know, if we can't say it enough that if a parent is dysregulated.
Yeah. If you're modeling it.
They're going to teach their kid to be dysregulated.
Yeah, the kids are going to do what they see,
right?
And they're going to do what they're told. If we speak to them and say, and no, 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 you can't do that. They internalize
right.
that speech. We talked about it earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's not just what parents model and what they say, but it's also how if parents give their children the opportunity
mm-hmm.
to learn self-regulation. You can't learn to self-regulate if everything is done for you.
Right.
You can't learn how to self-regulate if you are being controlled
right.
by an over-controlling parent.
Right.
I understand the temptation for parents of middle school students or even late elementary school students to keep their kids organized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand all that. But at some point, you have to turn that job over to your children. Sometime
mm-hmm.
after third grade.
Mm-hmm.
You have to turn that job over to your children. Parents can't keep doing it because
right.
you're denying your child the opportunity to ever learn it.
Right.
You don't want them to go off to college. You don't
right.
even want them to go to high school. But certainly you don't want them to go to college if they can't do it themselves.
Right, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about how we teach
right.
self-regulation skills.
Mm-hmm.
And going along with exactly what you were just talking about, we have to afford our kids the opportunity to learn it. And
right.
we can do that through something called scaffolding.
Right.
Scaffolding
mm-hmm.
is creating the opportunities or allowing for an opportunity
mm-hmm.
where your child learns a skill with your support.
Right.
You know, they're still expected to do it. They're still expected
right.
to engage in the behavior,
mm-hmm.
but you're there to support. And so it's safe. It's,
yeah.
You know, if they fail, if they have a difficult time, you're there to pick it up and help them move on.
Yeah, scaffolding is like what we use in buildings. Mm-hmm. The workers stand on a scaffold, mm-hmm. which allows them to move around a little bit more. And so provide structure and right. support. So what you're doing as a parent is you're providing structure and support. Notice we didn't say you're providing. So
right.
it's not, you should not be doing the job.
Right.
You should be supporting your child so your child can do the job.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. So as parents, we have to avoid the temptation of just taking the responsibility and taking control. Mm-hmm. Because we want to. Right. We don't want our kids to fail. We don't want them to have a hard time with some mm-hmm. of this. But we have to resist that urge of taking that responsibility right. from them. So we have to scaffold and give them that right. opportunity.
And there's so much room between doing it for them and letting them fail.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be a dichotomy. It doesn't have to be a dichotomous decision. Right. There's plenty of room between, well, I'm going to let them fail or I'm going to mm-hmm. do it for them.
Right.
Okay. Don't succumb to either.
Right.
Find that middle ground and provide right. the support that they need so yeah. that they can do it themselves.
Now, one of the things that they mention here that I really like mm-hmm. is the idea of practice runs.
Yes.
because, you know, we talk about it in different ways, but I don't know that we really specifically refer to them as practice runs. But I love the idea of creating situations for them to practice.
Right. Well, you know, what struck me about this is that, honey, you have to practice your piano.
Right.
We have soccer practice tonight.
Yeah.
Right. Isn't self-regulation at least important as soccer practice or football practice right. or band practice or any other kind of practice? Mm-hmm. You know, we have these abilities mm-hmm. that we practice to get right. good at.
Right.
Well, practice it, you know.
Yeah.
Give your kids an opportunity. Self-regulation is at least as important as an athletic ability,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
And so do these practice runs. Years ago, when we had kids who had temper tantrums in grocery stores,
mm-hmm.
and we used to say to the parents, well, just make an arrangement with the manager, and someday when you really don't need to go grocery shopping mm-hmm. and you're feeling particularly powerful, take your child into the grocery store just for a teaching lesson.
Right.
It's a practice run.
Yeah.
Practice what you're going to do when you are grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And it might take two or three or four visits,
mm-hmm.
but eventually your child's going to get it.
Yeah.
It's at least as important as hitting a baseball or a tennis ball or
Absolutely.
Anything else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I love practice runs.
Some other things that you can do besides just scaffolding and creating situations for this practice is to teach them ways to regulate their emotions yeah. themselves. Things like yoga, mindfulness-based meditation, right. Sitting still, sitting quiet and breathing. Mm-hmm. You know, those are all really important
things. Yeah, what have you
things.
Done as an adult? What mm-hmm. do you do to right. pull yourself together? Do you go outside and walk around? Do you run? Mm-hmm. Do you go hit a punching bag? Whatever's worked for you could work for your children, but mm-hmm. you have to give them instruction in how to bring themselves back to calm.
Right.
How do you get to calm? And you have to teach your kids how to do these things. And they have to be able to experiment with ways that work for them.
Right.
You may not want to do yoga. Mm-hmm. They may love it.
Yeah.
Okay. And they should learn, they should be able to do what works best for them.
But they won't know until they try it.
They have to try. They have to be exposed.
And the article mentions that for older kids, even, mm-hmm. Different forms of therapy, dialectical right. behavioral therapy and things like that can be really effective in helping kids develop some of the self-regulation skills.
That's right. Because that whole notion, the whole idea of dialectical behavioral therapy is mm-hmm. it's distress tolerance. In other words,
right.
and the other thing is, about self-regulation is you have to be able to tolerate a little right. bit of stress.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the other thing that you need to learn, that we all have stressors in our life and
right.
you know, get over it, and you have to be able to tolerate some of it, but you also have to be able to keep your emotions in check even mm-hmm. in the face of distress.
Exactly.
And so it's a two-part process, and dialectical behavioral therapy does a good job
right.
of doing that. So there are ways to deal with this in older children as well.
Absolutely.
And adults.
Absolutely. So, all right.
Good.
So, that's a little bit about...
Don't outsource your self-regulation.
That's right.
Don't let your children outsource their self-regulation.
I love that. So, all right. That is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.